Choosing Sides by Alanda Green. The afternoon gave no hint that it would shape the rest of my life. How could I possibly know it would? Just 8 years old, with no idea how one's life can change in a moment. My mom and dad, two older brothers, my grandfather and I were together on a rented boat southwest of Vancouver Island. My grandparents had recently moved to Victoria, and that summer our family had driven from Calgary for our first visit to their new home. To go fishing in the ocean had been my grandpa's longtime dream. My parents were happy to help the plan along. The kids were along for the adventure. None of us had sailed on ocean water before. The water's dark green, like the shadows of the trees thick along the shore, remains a vivid memory still, as do the huge gray cliffs and the thick scent of salt water. It was brand new to a prairie girl who had known the smell of water as the crisp tang of creeks, known air that was dry and trees that grew hardy and small, unlike these coastal giants. Jellyfish floated by like small girls' chiffon dresses. Water slapped the shoreline boulders. Gulls circled against the blue sky, whining complaints. I was enthralled with this newness and hung over the boat's rail while my mother chatted with her father. She sat beside him at the end of the boat where he held a thick, light brown fishing rod over the white V-lines of our wake. Dad steered at the wheel and moved us slowly, chug, 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 along the coastline. My brother's watch tussled and pointed out an eagle perched on a bare branch. Suddenly, Grandpa called out and great excitement ensued. All of us scrambled close to watch as his rod arched, then relaxed, arched again. He was thrilled. "I've got a fish. I think it's big." Over and over he wound the reel while the pole bent in a steep arc, then released the handle to rapidly spin the opposite way. I looked to my father quizzically. "He's tiring the fish so it won't break the line," he explained. "Pretty soon he'll be able to scoop it up with the net." All of us caught the excitement, waiting for a glimpse. Then it came, the splashing of white foam and the flick of a silver tail as the fish surfaced and dove again out of sight. "It's ready," my dad said to Grandpa. "I'll hold the rod if you want to net it." My grandfather nodded, handed my father the rod, and took the net hanging on the inside edge of the rail. I leaned over as far as I could to watch as he scooped the net under the surfacing fish and lifted it, thrashing and twisting and spraying cold drops over my face. Grandpa hoisted his catch and swung the net with both hands over the rail and across the boat, where he dumped the dark gray fish into a rectangular box near the opposite side. It was painted pale blue like the floor of the boat, nothing at all like the deep green where the fish had been. My grandfather grinned as wide a grin as I'd ever seen him have. Both my parents grinned too, happy for him. My brothers giggled with excitement. I stood frozen in horror as the fish, a sea bass, continued to flip, arch, smash its tail, its side heaving, eyes wide, mouth gaping. "Oh, please," I wailed, "let it go, it's hurting." The others looked at me with amazement and some amusement too. "We can't let it go," my dad said. "Grandpa caught it, he's so happy. That's why we're out here." "But it wants to live, it's dying, it's in pain." Couldn't they see this? I'm sobbing now, and the fish is getting weaker. My brothers laugh and make fun. My parents try to console me and explain how the fish has to die, that this is what happens. But I am inconsolable. I try to convince my grandfather, but he is getting irritated with me. No one is interested in my pleading, and instead are praising Grandpa for catching such a fine fish and landing it so well. I realize, in a moment of helplessness and horror, that this beautiful fish will not be given its life and its freedom. It will die in this box of air. My throat burns, My heart aches and pounds in my chest, and tears drain in silence. I look at these people I am with on the boat, and they seem to be strangers and not my family. I look at the fish, its sides heaving up and down, every so often trying to thrash its body back to water to escape what appears to me as agony. Its great round eye gazes at the blue above. I sit down on the boat floor beside the holding tank where it lies in its death throes. Softly, I apologize for my grandfather, my parents, my brothers, their uncaring action. I apologize for me, that I could not convince these strangers to let the fish go back to its home, that I was helpless to save it, and I promise I will remember it always. In that moment, I also make a promise to myself. I will not be one of them. My allegiance will not be to people. People kill these beautiful creatures for nothing more than pleasure. I will be on the side of the creatures. I look squarely in the eye of the dying fish, and I choose my side. I may look like these other people, but I make a solemn promise. I will not be one of them.